Thank you. That was a blessing. Amen. Would you go, please, to Psalm number 8 this evening? Psalm number 8. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I enjoy Sunday night. So I was saved on a Sunday night in the middle of May in 1964. Almost a lifetime ago. Amen. But praise the Lord. And I've never looked back. The Lord's been so good, and life has gone on in the will of God. And God has provided and done 101 different things that we could spend the whole evening talking about. But I've got to get on with the sermon, amen? However, thank you for your prayers. So we do continue to preach when we can. And so far this year, I've preached 45 times. This will be 46, I think. And the Lord's opened up wonderful opportunities to preach all over the place in different states and different places. And we thank God for that. Some souls have been saved. God has done a work. And got one more meeting before Christmas. Amen. Squeeze in another meeting up to Brisbane for some old, an old preacher friend of mine that we've helped over the years. So pray for that. And we look forward to being able to serve the Lord on in the future. So do pray for us in regard to health and other things that the Lord would provide. It's all by our preaching ministry is all done by faith as we trust the Lord to guide and provide us as we go out. We don't make any deals with anybody. And so forth. We just trust the Lord. So it's great to be in the Lord's will and to be living by faith, as that song said tonight. Go to Psalm 85, and this evening the subject of biblical revival. What is real revival? And we find in Psalm 85, the psalmist is reminding the Lord of past revivals. Lord, thou hast been favourable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us for ever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Over to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. 2 Chronicles 7:14, that great verse on the revival, on revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14, one that probably most of you know and have memorized, but it's a wonderful truth, and it is for us today to claim the promise of this verse. Chapter 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray, Lord, tonight for your gracious help. We pray for the Holy Spirit's filling and refreshing and anointing, Lord, upon the preaching of the word, that this evening hour would be fruitful and profitable to us each one. And Lord, that we would be drawn nearer and that we would be refreshed in our days, in our years, as, Lord, we need that refreshing from you over and over again. And Lord, we need to cry out for our land as well, for a turning unto thee. So we pray, dear God, that you would bless the message tonight. Have your perfect will and way in the message, and may it have an impact upon us, not only here in this place, but across the land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The importance of revival. Here we see then that the psalmist prays for revival. And here this is a prayer, a psalm for the sons of Korah. These were the musicians in the house of God. And there was prayer for them to be revived, amen, and for them to be blessed in their work and ministry for the Lord. We ever need to be revived. We're not like one of those old clocks where you, well, even the old clock, we're more like the old clocks. You wind them up and then they run down, you know, and you've got to wind them again. That's more the Christian life. Our Christian life is more like a life on the sea of life where there's the ups and downs. The ups and downs. And the prayer for revival and personal revival is certainly a prayer that can be prayed in the down times. The prayer for a personal revival needs to be prayed in hard times. When we are feeling down, we're feeling a little depleted, we can seek the Lord for his refreshing and reviving in our lives. Wilt thou not revive us again? And so this plea for revival here is found in the psalmist and the song leader of the house of God. Let us have revival not only in the staff, the people that are behind the pulpit, and the ministers of the Word of God, but let us have revival in the music department, amen. And let us have revival in the Sunday school department, and for all of us, how we need the touch. In the home, we need the touch of the reviving of God, don't we? And in the regularity of the home, and so on. I know something about that. And so on. I did my cleaning duties Friday morning when it was hot, you know, so I stayed indoors. But, you know, some of the regular things that need to be done over again. And we need that inner reviving of the Lord so we can serve the Lord with gladness. Notice here the psalmist here is calling for revival that God's people may rejoice. And that's something that we need to develop, isn't it? The rejoicing in the heart of the saint of God. One of our first trips, my wife and I, to the US, came at a time when there was a lot of difficulties going on, a lot of battles going on around Christendom and in our church and around the saints of God. And there are a lot of sad faces. And God allowed us to go to a church in the States that was revived. I certainly felt the reviving touch of God while we were there under the ministry of Brother Sam Davison. What a blessing that was. And that church was in revival, no doubt. And still is a wonderful place of the Word of God. But the need of reviving among God's people. You and I ever need to be revived so that we have a smile on our face. You know, it's no good going to the door, knocking on the door, the door opens and you say, you wouldn't want to be saved, would you? If you give them, I'll tell you what, if you do that and you give them an opportunity for a no, that's what you'll get every time. So, if God's people go to the door rejoicing in the Lord, go with the joy of the Lord and the revived heart. So revival is spoken of very clearly in the scriptures. It is needed in the personal lives of God's children. It is needed in the church family. Each individual local church ever needs to be revived and stirred for the Lord. And then, of course, we need to think of the nation as well and pray for a turning to God in our nation. What a great need that it is out there in the nation. And the different things that are going on out there, and the sin that is rampant, and the sin that is being endorsed and legislated. We're in terrible times, dark days. Dark days. The church has been in dark days before, I remind you. Back in the day of Pentecost, that was dark days when the Jews were absolutely against the Lord and wanted to do away with the Christ of God, but he rose again from the dead and continued the great ministry. As that hymn talked about the time of the time of the Reformation, but I want to remind you that before the time of the Reformation, there were Baptist preachers and believers across the lands being greatly persecuted for the faith, but many coming to Christ through that time. Then, of course, you have the revivals that came through the doctrine of justification by faith during the Reformation time and how God moved in that time. But then you have had in history different times of outpourings from heaven in what we would call revival. But tonight I would like to direct your attention to the Bible definition of what revival is. A lot of the time the historical definition of revival is a lot of people being saved and great excitement around the house of God, and so it fades out. But according to the Word of God, there is revival that is from heaven that is biblical. A biblical revival. Psalm 119 is the great psalm on the Bible. And the psalmist talks about the Word of God, his love for the Word, and him being in the Word. But I was struck with my study when I came to this matter of revival. Because in the book of Psalms, revival is spoken of, only the word that is translated from the Hebrew word, the word that is translated there is translated into the word quicken. So I'd ask you to go, please, with me to have a look at some of these verses in the book of Psalms there, Psalm 119. Look at verse number 25, and I'd like to direct your attention here, and that we would have a biblical definition of what revival is. Because we have a lot of ideas been put forward by the charismatic and Pentecostal/charismatic type that reckons that revival has come and that they have entered into just the latter rains revival and so forth, and talk about what is happening among them as a revival. But I want to tell you today, based on the surveys of what is happening in that movement, it certainly is not a revival. It's not a biblical revival. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of froth and bubble, a lot of things going on, but I want to tell you tonight that it's not according to the Word of God. And the outcomes of what they call revival are devastating upon the faith. And we see in verse number 25 here, a typical example in Psalm 119:25, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Here the psalmist is in touch with the reality in his life that he is as dry as a bone, as we say. He's as dry as the dust that blows. But we always lived on the south side of the city because we wanted to escape that northerly dust, amen, that blows in from... But I found out something good about it. It grows in from beautiful grain fields, amen, brother. It blows in from beautiful grain fields. But it brings a lot of other dust and things with it, which are not good for the hay fever. We always lived on the south side because we thought it's a bit more green over that side, and so I ministered over there for 27 years. The thing is, over on the north side here, there's a lot of dust, amen? There's a lot of dust. My wife, she's a good housekeeping mother and a lady she is. You know what she does every Friday morning? She gets around with a feather duster. She goes over the whole place, skirting boards included. And she might even give me a bit of a dust down if I'm looking a bit dusty in the way, you know. But certainly we must admit that there are times in our life when we're feeling very dry and dusty, amen. We are feeling very dry and we don't feel as though we have much to give out. Well, the psalmist here experienced that, and his answer to that dusty and dryness of spirit, was, quicken thou me, revive me according to thy word. Now, he did not want the historical or the modern type of revival that they're talking about in the charismatic movement. He wanted the revival according to thy word. Amen. That's what we want, isn't it? Amen. We want reviving according to God's word. And as we get into the word of God, that's what we get. And throughout the Psalm 119, it talks many times of the fact that the word of God revives us. When we get into the Word, the Spirit and the Word come and minister to us, and there is a prayer for revival. Notice this in this psalm, that David many times, and the psalmist here many times, they are going to prayer. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. That's prayer. And we find that there is a combination here when it comes to the matter of revival of the word of God and prayer. And prayer and the word of God, repentance from sin, turning to God, seeking his face on our knees, in our hearts before him, seeking the blessing that only God can give. And that is wonderful when you think about it. I've been saved since 1964. That's a long time. I wouldn't even want to do the math right now. Oh, you can do it. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts in verse 40. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Oh, how we've needed that reviving from time to time. And how you need it too. Look at verse number 50. This is my comfort. In my affliction, you're feeling afflicted? We all go through that too from time to time. Afflictions, things the enemy opposing and attacking, and different things going wrong and discouraging us in the way. And here in the affliction, it's time to pray for revival. Now, many times when we're afflicted, we don't feel like praying for revival. Amen. We don't. We're down and the devil wants to keep us down. Amen. He wants us down and out. That the Lord wants to revive us. And so when you're afflicted and you're feeling low, underneath of the everlasting arms, the Lord will lift you up and bless you. For thy word quickeneth me. Get into the word. Look at the promises of God. Look at the promises of God in this matter of revivings and how you can be revived and blessed of the Lord in your situation. So I was amazed by the number of times. Psalm 107, verse 107, he seeks to be revived. Quicken me. So in verse 149, hear my voice, O Lord. Quicken me. Verse 154, quicken me according to thy word. In verse 156 there, great are thy tender mercies, quicken me according to thy judgment. You want the quickening of God and the reviving of God according to judgment, not foolishness and folly and froth and bubble. In 159, he seeks again that God in his loving kindness would quicken him. In verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness. So the reviving he wants is according to the word of God. The reviving we want is according to the word of God. Because we want the reviving that is spoken of in the Bible, which is a return to that original Christianity, that biblical Christianity, that New Testament, that Book of Acts Christianity, with proper biblical understanding, we can pray that the Lord will fill us with His Spirit and make us bold in our witness and testimony. So it is that this reviving is spoken of in the Scriptures. And it means to return. It means to return to biblical Christianity. It means to return to real Christianity. It means a return. It does not mean strange signs and wonders from heaven. It doesn't mean that at all. And we find that there are those that talk about revival. They're looking for signs and wonders, some new thing, some weird thing, some manifestation with noises and tongues and slayings and trances and so-called miracles. There was a woman in Sydney, and it was placed in the newspaper that she could actualize gold dust. But guess what the researcher found when they were doing the article? That they had a mortgage on the church. And not only that, later on they went bankrupt. See, these claims that people are making are weird and wonderful claims. They are not revival, friends. That is not revival. It is some extraneous deception of the evil one. Healings, psychic readings, and so forth. And music, fleshly and carnal music with the lights are flashing. That is not biblical revival. That is not what we need in these days. And you're finding that that is the case, that when they go along that line, we've been doing that study on the Sunday mornings and mentioning some very famous names. Let me tell you that many of those famous names are no more. And if you go and try and find their mega churches and their crystal cathedrals and everything, they are gone. What they claim to be a revival, what they claim to be of God, has turned out to be a deception of the devil to scatter and drive people away from the Word of God and from the truth of God. Certainly no revival. Friends, it's a revival in reverse, if you want to know the truth. It is a revival in the worst. It's a return to old, ungodly ways in many cases. You know, you end up with the Pope speaking in tongues and Joyce Myers in her $250 velura suit doing a performance, you know. And they call that preaching. That is not preaching, friends. It is not preaching. Real revival means that the Word of God is open and that there is a heart for the Word of God and the biblical ways of doing things, the biblical methodologies are put in place so that we do things the Bible way. That's the thing that marks a real revival, is that things go back to doing it the Bible way, getting back into the Word of God, preaching the gospel with power, and doing the work of God. So revival means to return to the real thing, to return. It means a return unto that which is of God and that is real. Now the word in the Hebrew in the Old Testament is chayah, and that word is translated revival. And it's an interesting thing that it is used to describe people's return to normality. Now Jacob, when he was disappointed at the news of his son's death, and for 20 years he was in the miseries, he was down and depressed and down. But then, guess what happened? Have a look at it there in Genesis 45:27. What happened to him in Genesis 45:27? And we can remember this from, no doubt, preachers preaching. It's been good to go through the book. But look at verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And he returned to normal, his normal emotional state. You see, he was emotionally down. And he returned to his normal emotional condition in that situation. Samson, the Bible talks about Samson and how he had great victory over the enemy and had a great battle and victory, and at the end of it he was dry. He was thirsty, and he said to the Lord, "Lord, am I going to die of thirst?" And the Lord said, "No way," and he began to pour in water into the hollow of the jawbone of the ass, work it out. And the water began to go in there, and he drank the water, and his physical health returned to normality. Revival is returning to normality, biblical normality, as we see it in the New Testament, as was taught by our Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, and as was lived by the believers of that time. We need to get back to that kind of Christianity, that kind of working. And here at the church, that is our motto and our desire and intention, to get back to doing it the Bible way, and as far as we can, to do things the Bible way. And God is blessing us, I believe, because of that. And I think we're having some little touch of revival, new people coming in every week. Have you noticed? Open your eyes, see what God is doing. The Lord is moving. Praise God. Keep on keeping on. Keep on doing it. Keep on praying. And keep on praying for reviving. So he returned to normality with that water. And that's what revival is. It's returning to normality, the normal living of the Christian, as explained by our Lord and in the scriptures. So revival in the English sense as well is used in that way. When somebody is down and out, and I've only had that experience once so far. Wasn't very exciting, but anyway, I went down and out. You know, the energy just drained to the ground, and so did I. Down I went. I was out to it. But praise God, I don't know what happened, but Lord just said, "It's not over yet." Boom. And straight away, oh, I was back, had my presence of mind, but no strength and energy. Well, I didn't need the CPR, but, you know, they come along and do the CPR on people. And they're lying there, they're subnormal. When they're lying there and they're out cold, they're subnormal. How many of you have got your, up to date, your first aid up to date? Are you ready to get involved in revival? Of a human person, the old CPR, you know. And then there are other machines as well that give you a boot. They'll get you going. I've got one built in up here. It's got everything possible up here, built in. But Grandpa had one that was faulty, and it gave him a kick like a horse's kick. Knocked him into the wall, down he went. But normally they work better than that. But anyway, I hope so. But never needed this one so far. Praise God over all these years. It's kept me going. But when a person is, when CPR is applied, it is said that the person has revived. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they've become super normal and they're now hanging from the chandeliers and shouting hallelujah, or what? Are they? No. They're not. They're simply back to what we would call normal. So revival in the Christian life is back to normal. Now, when we give in to the flesh, we backslide a little bit, we become subnormal, okay? Right? Is that true? We do. And when we become subnormal and the flesh is taking over and there's carnality and other things going on, things are not going right, and we're not, God is not we're not walking close with the Lord. When we're down like that, what do we need to pray for? Revival. That God would lift us to the level of godliness and spirituality where we can walk with God and where the Lord is working in and through us. You know, we can seek the Lord for revivings in our lives, and we should do. And as we saw with the psalmist there, I was amazed how many times he just cried out for God's quickening. And that reminded me, how many times do we need to be crying out for quickening? How often we're a bit dry, we're a bit down. How often we're a bit flat, and we're not really to that level of spirituality where we need to be. We can then pray for that personal revival. The days of revival are not over. Personal revival is not over. The charismatics haven't exhausted it all. Forget about what they're saying, because they're on a different planet. And Satan is working full time. You know, it was interesting coming to church. We came past influences, and guess what's happened with the influences tonight? Nothing. Not a soul, not a car, not a soul there, nothing. Influences. So we're driving by, we're heading and we're driving by, and I'm saying, praise the Lord, I'm heading for north side. There's influence. There's outreach. And it's not just Sunday morning. You know. And then we hit another sign that says freedom. Freedom. That wasn't even there tonight. I don't know what, they obviously got their freedom and they've dissipated and disappeared who knows where. Hopefully none of them have ended up in the city jail, but anyway, you know, it could easily happen. They get a bit high on the wrong sort of things, you know. So it is, we can seek the Lord for reviving, and we need many of them, and we need reviving over again. I like those hymns in the songbook there. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. And that's what revival is. Being filled with the Spirit of God and exhibiting the blessings of the Spirit of God in our lives with the power. Now revival, the word revival is not used in the New Testament. And it's interesting that it's not found there. But the principle of revival and the truth of revival is seen over and over throughout the book, throughout the New Testament. And if you look at the book of Revelation, for instance, in chapter 2, 5, it calls upon the believers to repent and get right with God. Let's go there for a moment. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 5. And we see in these letters to the churches there, the Lord is giving them a challenge and calling them to repentance and to revival. The first one there, of course, is the church at Ephesus that lost its first love. They didn't love the Lord as they did once. They were doing a lot of the right things, but they were doing them mechanically and not out of love. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, 2 verse 4, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works. Now, repentance is in the Bible. I'm thankful that I have the King James Bible that's translated this properly and hasn't dropped it out. Because repentance is not only needed for people that are out there on the broad way of life and don't know one way and another and are in sin and are lost and undone. They need to repent of their folly and their foolish way. They need to realize that only Jesus Christ can save, and they need to have a change of heart. They need to repent and trust in the Lord. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So for the ungodly and the unsaved, they need to have a change of heart about saving themselves and put their faith in Jesus Christ, who alone can save. They need to repent of doing it their way and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we find the challenge to repentance is for believers as well. Sometimes we are going the wrong way, believers. Sometimes we're not getting it right. Sometimes we have fallen into some errors and some sins and different things that have taken place. And in that case, we need to see that they're wrong and have a change of heart and a change of mind and call on the Lord for deliverance and for further power and the reviving of the Spirit. Well, we find in chapter 2 and verse number 16, there's a call there for repentance. The Lord says he knows their works and they need to repent. And of course, just to raise your may hear of it, remember the lukewarm church of the last days, the Laodicean church. This is the days we're in, by the way, the days of Laodicea, of lukewarmness and the rule of the people and the people doing their own thing and the Lord being left out. And here there is a challenge for the lukewarm believer and the lukewarm church to get right with God. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord wants in. He wants in the church. He wants in the heart of the believer to take control and to lead and guide as the Lord. We find in Paul's letters, in Paul's prayers, we find that they are prayers for revival. Amen. On Wednesday night, Brother was going through one with us there of Paul's prayers. Paul's prayers are prayers for revival. And God promises to bless and revive his children. You know, the word revival then is not found in the New Testament. But our Lord Jesus, he taught the principles of revival. And the definition of the normal Christian is found in the Lord's teaching of his disciples. And you have it in the Gospels and in other places where the Lord outlines some things about the Christian life. In Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. There's a principle of revival. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow him. Let the Lord take control. In Mark, we find in 16:15, preach the gospel to every creature. And preach is the method that God has chosen for the communication of the word. The preaching is the method of communication. The teaching is the content of the preaching. Amen. In Luke chapter and Luke and Acts, we find that the believer is to be endued with power from on high. This is to be the normal Christian life. In John, he that abideth in him and I in him bringeth forth the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Revival is abiding in Jesus Christ and seeing the fruit bearing through him. We find in Romans then the principle of revival is taught in presenting your bodies. Romans 12:1, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's revival, amen, when you yield yourself and surrender completely to the Lord Jesus, that he can take control and have his will and way in your life. The Corinthian epistles, you know, are a challenge for revival. The Corinthian church was not in good order. It was out of order. It was way below the requirements of the Christian life, the normal Christian life. This is a huge glass. I said to my wife, I'll have to be careful up there, or those glasses of water are all going to go overboard. It'd be like a flood coming down. Maybe that'd be a good illustration of the Holy Spirit wanting to flood and fill our lives. Who knows? So far, so good. But the book of Corinthians then is all about a challenge to a church that's out of order, calling them to get back into order. That church at Corinthians was so carnal, and we haven't got time for it, it's a whole study in itself. It was just so carnal. It was just so wrong and doing things the wrong way. And, you know, the tongues that they had there, all these languages going on, and plus the gibberish going on, all sorts of things going on, and confusion. And that was not God's will. He's not the author of confusion. So it was a challenge for them to get right with God and to get these things in shape. In Galatians, we are challenged to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's the normal Christian life. In Ephesians, we are told to be filled with the Spirit in chapter 5, verse 18. And you know, God wants to fill us, and He wants the fruit of the Spirit to be showing through us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He wants our old flesh crucified so that these fruits can be seen through us. The fruit of the Spirit, by the way, are more important than the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit are non-effectual if the fruit of the Spirit is not in the life. And which one should come first? The fruit of the Spirit. Then there is the development of the gifts of the Spirit. And of course, the Lord wants us to utilize those gifts and to be useful in His work. In Philippians, we are called upon to press towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That should be our life goal, amen, for the normal Christian life. In Colossians, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Colossians 3:2. The surrendered Spirit-filled life is the normal life of the Christian according to the New Testament. And Jesus taught it in John chapter 13-17. Good thing for you to read during the week. This state of submission and faith should be expected to bring five definite experiences in our lives. Listen to these five experiences that the early believers had and that we should have. Number one, remarkable answers to prayer. God answers prayer. Remember there when Peter was in jail and they were praying like anything that he would be released, and Rhoda comes and knocks on the door and says, Peter's out there, and they said, oh, you're mad. Unbelieving prayer, amen, that was what it was. But anyway, they saw remarkable answers to prayer, and so can we as we follow and claim the promises of God. Obvious help from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God wants to be our enabler, to help us and to enable us in life. And we find that in John 14-16. Love, joy and peace in the heart are also another part of the experience of the Spirit-filled, revived believer. Much fruit in John 15:1-8. Abide in me and I in you. Without me, ye can do nothing. And the believer can be fruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next one that is mentioned is persecution/pruning. And these five things were typical in the lives of revived saints. Persecution/pruning. I don't like pruning. I have to confess. I'm not a pruner. Cody's got to help me through. Already had him over inspecting the trees and things. How do I prune? Because I'm not a pruner. I like to see them just flourish and grow automatically. Doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen in a Christian life either, does it? There are times when there needs to be persecution, testings and trials. There are times when that is necessary in order to correct us and get us into the right way. But, you know, the saints of old experienced persecution, so will you. So we shouldn't be surprised at that. Think of what the Lord Jesus put up with. He was persecuted, and in the end, they crucified him. And so thank God that he's still walking, amen? But here, persecution and pruning is necessary to prune off the dead wood and to get ready for the fresh growth. And this is something that I've had to learn. I've been so busy preaching all these years that I haven't had time for fruit trees and things such of that nature. You know, pulling weeds. Thank you, Lord. I'm able to preach. I don't know if you're pulling weeds so much, but I suppose I always have been pulling weeds over the years. But you know, when it comes to the fruit trees, I had no idea what to prune. Last year, believe it or not, last year I looked at my two fruit trees that I only got two of them. And they're my babies. You know, there's an apricot and there's a peach. And so last year I thought, I've got to prune these trees. So I went through and I chopped off everything that I thought needed to be chopped off. Guess what? I chopped off all the new growth that was coming on. And the fruit comes on the new growth, I found out. Amen? Something for us to keep in mind with church growth. Fruit comes on new growth. So it's interesting. New people bring new people. But, you know, I had to learn about that pruning thing. And I've had to learn that over the years, that God has a way of pruning his children and so on. So it is that the revival life is clearly taught in the New Testament. And with us looking at God's word, we see the pattern and picture of the New Testament revival that is spoken of. Friends, that's so different to what's out there in what they call the charismatic movement and so forth. So different. So it is that we should be seeking to be revived and the reviving touch of our Lord Jesus. Would you go please to the book of James, the book of James, for a final verse tonight. The book of James. And here we find that James is talking about how to have personal revival. The scriptures are so helpful and they're better than all these self-help books and everything that's out there. And the scriptures really give us the direction for our Christian life. And in the book of James there, we find that James has an interesting conclusion as he comes towards the final things for his letter. But notice in James chapter 4, please, and verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's a promise of God for you who are being harassed by the evil one. The devil can't possess you, by the way, if you've got the Lord. But he can hassle you from outside and cause hassles and send hasslers along, if you like to describe them that way. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. That's revival. Getting close to the Lord. Getting close to the Lord. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Is that not revival? Humbling yourself and God lifting you above the carnality of life to the spiritual walk with God, the New Testament Christianity that we should all embrace. So there is a call for us to draw nigh to God, to humble ourselves. But notice there's a bit of cleaning work to be done. Cleanse your hands. You know, to seek, this is the problem with the charismatic movement. They seek the wonders, but they're not willing for the sanctification. The sanctification of the Spirit, the cleansing. That here we are called upon to cleanse our hands. Quit doing things that are ungodly. Ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. This is to the believer. Be single-minded. Trust in the Lord completely and thoroughly. Submit yourself fully to him. Submission is key. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Sometimes that's what we need to be, miserable over what we've done, over our sin and wrong, and the terrible condition of our world and our nation, and our people and churches in general. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Go before the Lord, and be that way. Allow the Spirit of God to work in you and to humble you. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You need a reviving? Humble yourself. in the sight of the Lord. Call upon the Lord for his quickening and power and enabling and his filling. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He will fill his children with the Spirit of God when they come humbly before him, confessing their sin and need and crying out for that reviving touch of the Lord. How we need that in our lives, and how we need that day by day, month by month, year by year as we go on in the service of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, while we come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this reminder tonight. Lord, it's a dusty, dry, old, sinful world out there. There's so much ungodly carnality, filth and garbage out there, dear God. It's all wearing upon the soul, drying to the bones, as it were. And we pray, dear God, that you would bring us humbly before you, that we would learn to cry out for that quickening, for that refreshing that comes from heaven, that will produce the life of Christ through us. Lord, that's our great need in this hour. Revive thy church, O Lord, we pray. Do a work of reviving ever among us, Lord, that we would be a revived people, that we would have a fire and zeal for God and for the word of God, and that we would become more like the Lord Jesus. Please bless us to that end and do a work in us even now. Humble us, Lord. There may be some tonight that would want to seek an old-fashioned altar and humble themselves and cry out to you for refreshing and revival. Perhaps they're dry and dusty and thirsty and hungry and weak and needing your filling and your empowering. Pray, Lord, that they would indeed be responsive as needed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going